Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Woo. Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm J-Hood, Cap with the day off, with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. That's our telephone number. Saying good morning to you guys on Twitch as well. Starting your conversation and keeping the conversation going all day, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We got Shay, we got JR, and we got you for a three-hour ride until 10 o'clock, and then we hand it over to Mike Greenberg with the Mike Greenberg Show right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Plenty to talk about. We will have Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock, but guest-free in our first hour, unless there's breaking news, at 312-332-3776. Perfect venue, perfect night, and it really went well for Major League Baseball. As the American League, once again, being the hammer and the National League being the nail, American League over the National League 3-2. But that's not the point. The point this morning I want to start off with is that what we saw yesterday, what we've seen the last few days from Major League Baseball, is when baseball is at its best, when they can showcase their stars like Shohei Ohtani, and they can show Machado, and they can show Acuna Jr., and Tim Anderson, and Wilson Contreras, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and Pete Alonso, and on and on and on. Baseball is at its best when they can be able to showcase their stars. And what we saw is that baseball still is in my veins. I'll just, for those of you listening to me for the first time, I will tell you about my fandom. So, growing up on the south side of Chicago, there's two things my dad and I had in common. We really enjoyed sports, and we enjoyed cars, especially muscle cars. And so the thing that we really loved about sports is that in the 70s and the 80s growing up, baseball was always on the TV. Watching Sox baseball, watching Cubs baseball, the game of the week, it meant a lot to us. And we were a baseball family growing up. And so baseball never leave me. I am sometimes concerned about the future for Major League Baseball and where it's going to go here in 2022 and beyond. Like, they've already got me locked in as a fan, but where is the sport going? What I really liked is that you saw the best of the best take on one another, and it was fun. And you've always wondered, watching games in the past, you know, what are these players saying to one another? How much fun are they having? So I was thinking about this. Just watching some of the broadcasts, and I didn't see all the broadcasts. I was watching the beginning, and I watched a lot of the end. I was watching some TV shows in the middle because, I mean, as much as I enjoy baseball, I enjoy watching the White Sox and the Cubs and Major League Baseball. But the All-Star Game, you know, I'll be watching some, but not the entire thing. But the highlights that I noticed is guys like Shohei Ohtani. I've talked about this on the show before, from the Los Angeles Angels. We see a guy like Shohei Ohtani who is one of one, something that we've never seen before. We're seeing someone pitch and hit on a regular basis. And that is special in sport because anytime that you can look at an athlete and say, I've never seen anything like that before, that means that athlete is special. And so with Shohei Ohtani right there at the All-Star game, he was a leadoff hitter for the American League. And then,
what are you most looking forward to tonight?
First pitch, first swing. That's it.
Off we go. First pitch swinging. Flare of a base hit into center. Ohtani even told him through Tom Verducci, first pitch swing. And he did. And he broke his bat, but he's got a base hit.
So he says, I'm going to swing. I will hit. And then he gets a base hit. It's amazing, right? I mean, that kind of insight I thought was really interesting yesterday. We'll hear from Liam Hendricks also is at toward the end of the game, where he's actually talking to the broadcast team about what he's going to throw, what he's doing out there. I mean, that's, to me, I just think that lets you in on what's going on in the game. I'm not sure if football will ever be that, where there's football players that are mic'd up, where you can talk to the broadcast team exactly, what are you going to do here? What are you going to throw here? You know, what are you looking for in this sack if you're a defensive player? I just thought that it was fun. Now, of course, Shea will look at some of this stuff on the dark side. Shea will look at this and say, well, we saw the All-Star game and some of it was fun, but the biggest complaint on social media that I saw about the All-Star game, outside of the pageantry and how it was a perfect day in Los Angeles and how the players were able to get along and have fun, people were concerned about the uniforms. And so I'll tell you my initial thought on it. I just know growing up watching baseball that you had the players would represent their team. They would have their uniform on and the cap. And so what we saw yesterday was, the American League and National League had their own uniforms and they had a hat, but it was kind of made for what baseball wanted them to wear. And so, listen, the thing that I will always look at, Shay, that you'll learn about me is that I will always romanticize about the past, but won't say that the past has to be in the present. Just because I grew up watching baseball all-star games in which you knew the Cardinal because the Cardinal had his actual uniform on, or the Los Angeles Dodger, or the White Sox player that had his uniform on, just because it happened in the past doesn't mean it has to happen today. Because common sense will tell me I know why the American League and the National League wore the type of uniforms they did yesterday. Because of money. That's why they did that, because they're hoping some kid will say, boy, I like that golden glitter on the white uniform. I want to get that. Do you think that a kid looks at a guy like, I don't know, like Otani, or looks at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. or Buxton from Minnesota and says, you know, since he wears that Minnesota uniform, I want to buy that uniform? Or do you want to get something specialized like an all-star uniform? It may not be aesthetically pleasing to everybody, but I understand why they did it is because of money. They want people to buy a new gear, new jerseys. That's why they wore that yesterday.
At least two of they did the jerseys like it didn't just say American League across it. It was obviously they had the American and National League version of each jersey, but and that hat I think said AL or NL for the batting helmet. But at least it was like Astros or Nationals or whatever across the chest. It wasn't just like American League. There was still the tribute to the actual team's jersey for every player. I liked that. Did you notice, by the way, most of the hats had the team logo with the star on the right side of the logo?
Yes.
But the Astros had it on the left, I believe, so it wouldn't look like an asterisk.
Now, of course, that all-star, that star they had on the sleeve looked like everybody played for the Astros. You did notice that, right, JR? Did you notice the star on, like, the sleeve there in that spot?
Yeah, I missed the everybody. Like, you know, you can see how many players on the big red machine are out there just from the camera shot. You can just count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, I mean, I know that's super old school, but seriously.
Because it has Cincinnati across the chest, right?
But you can pan the infield, and you see all the different jerseys together. That was my favorite part, man. You know, the old Pittsburgh jersey.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
I get it. But you know that the only reason why they do that is because of money.
But if you're a kid, are you really going to buy a jersey of your favorite player representing for one game? Like he wore it for one game.
I know, but you know that kids like fresh gear.
I suppose.
Right? Say, for instance, that you are a fan of it's so many guys to choose from. Say it's Goldschmidt, right? If you're a Goldschmidt guy and you say, oh, I already have his jersey from St. Louis. I have two or three of them, but I don't have the All-Star one. You know, you shop, some kids shop like cap shops, right? Not only do I get one, but I get seven or eight of the same brand, but different colors. And I think that's how some kids will look at the uniforms, too. They're like, you know, I have a Goldschmidt, but I don't have it in the All-Star Goldschmidt.
Well, it goes back to our rooting interest as well, right? So it's rooting for your team versus rooting for your player.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you root for here? If you're a fan of the player, then sure, you're going to want that alternate third Goldschmidt jersey. But if you're a fan of the team, then you want to represent what your team wears every day, at least in my opinion. Maybe I'm out of touch here.
No, I understand the point. And in baseball, there would not be confusion of, you know, who wears what jersey. See, Shay, when we when JR and I were coming up watching baseball, I mean, you could have a Pirates jersey, Cubs jersey, White Sox jersey, and it would be confusing. It's baseball. Of course, you couldn't do that in football, though. Could you imagine the Pro Bowl with all their uniforms represented, right?
Quarterback doesn't know who to throw to.
Exactly. Now that's fun. Now, you want to do the Pro Bowl that way, maybe I'll watch for a quarter.
But you could have everyone wear home whites and then everyone wear the... No, I guess you couldn't do that. It'd probably be pretty confusing.
No, it'd be funny if that was the case, though. But in baseball, that's the reason
imagine,
why.
By the way, the home whites, they have everybody wear the home whites, and then Dallas is in a colored uniform.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. See, that's how I'm looking at it. So I know that's the rage here about the uniforms and how it was. Hey, man, you know, change is inevitable. And anytime that there's change, you look for where's the money coming from? Is it because of money? And usually the answer is yes. That's the reason why that happens. We talk about the All-Star Game with Jonathan Hood on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. I learned yesterday that this is the first time since 1980 that there was a All-Star Game in Los Angeles. I believe that was the one that Steve Stone started, if I'm not mistaken. And that's on YouTube. That game is on YouTube, where if you've never seen Steve Stone pitch, just type in 80 All-Star Game, and Steve Stone is pitching there, pitching for the Baltimore Orioles. It's been such a long time, but I just thought it was the perfect venue, and I just like when you have the players mic'd up because you could hear them having fun, like the White Sox, Liam Hendricks. He's out there, and here's a guy here that makes a cup of coffee nervous, right? When he's jittery, man, it's tough. But he's really settled in nicely. I'm always jabbing Cap in the ribs about Hendricks because he got to such a slow start and was giving up ball games. And so, I mean, he's really turned into a really solid closer and a difference maker for the White Sox here toward the end of the first half of the season. But it was good to see Hendricks actually having fun. You could actually hear him having fun.
Fly to center field. Yes! Julio's got it. There you go, Liam.
Don't throw the ball away. Julio! Julio! Give me the ball! Give me the ball! I need to keep it.
Nice.
I get everything authenticated. I got to keep this one. I didn't get a strikeout this time. I ruined my streak. Hey, thank you, Bobby.
What if Julio would have thrown him over the fence in right field? He was pretending like he's going to throw over the fence. And Liam's like, no, I need that ball. It's an all-star ball. Please don't throw that ball over the plate. And Julio's going to throw it over the fence. I'm glad that he was able to keep his ball, but I was happy to see Hendricks have fun out there. That was fun.
It was good, and I think Tim and Liam both were asked about the White Sox clubhouse. They both said totally untrue. So it was nice to see him kind of break loose. Have a good time. We talked earlier about how over the weekend when the White Sox took 3 or 4 from the Twins, it looked like they were having fun in the dugout. It was good to see Liam and Tim out there having a good time at the All-Star Game. It felt like kind of a reset for the vibes of those two guys.
As I've been saying, that when it comes to the All-Star Game, it's good to see your favorite players represent it. But as far as the game, I was not there for all 9 innings. I was able to go in and out and kind of watch what was going on with the game. But it's just good, you know, when a favorite of your favorite team is represented. And you saw that yesterday.
The best thing about this week with the baseball all-star events is I don't have to zero in on a game. It's a type of thing that I throw up on the second screen, and then I have time where I can now play video games or do something else, and I can pay attention to what's happening, but I'm not watching it, like, intently the way I would watch every night with the White Sox.
This is a complete sidebar, so I have to say, sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to you by Aiken Law, 3126 million, sign my ball.
You said the 1980 All-Star Game. I literally clicked into it right here. It's J.R. Richard pitching to Johnny Bench with Rod Carew hitting.
Oh, jeez. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, that's a dream right there, right?
It's fantastic.
I believe I had that accurate. I believe Steve Stone pitched in that. Yeah, I believe he was in that All-Star game. I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I just clicked into a random spot. I mean, it's got the Astros stripes, and, like, everyone's wearing different uniforms. It looks fantastic.
It just, I mean, but that's been so long. 1980, last time that there was a All-Star game in L.A., I just thought that it was perfect, a great opportunity for baseball to showcase its stars. You had nothing else against it. It was just the All-Star game. Sure, it happens every year, and the numbers go down and down from a television standpoint. But, again, you can watch it digitally. You can watch highlights. However you consume baseball had a great night and a great draft as well. All right, coming up, we talk about, not only are we talking about All-Stars, but we're talking about Chicago All-Stars as well. If you're a Chicago sports fan, I think that you'll enjoy this next segment, because I'm going to need your help to try to identify the next Chicago star that could take over this city. We'll talk about that coming up next. I'm Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Hope that you're going to have a great Wednesday right here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000. Don't forget that ESPN Chicago app. That's where you can find the golf show. You got Cronin, you got Aki, and they're breaking down golf every Sunday. We want you to be part of the show as well. If you don't ever catch it live, make sure you catch it on the ESPN Chicago app. Just look for golf content. We have several golf shows for you on the ESPN Chicago app. Glad to have you in today. I want to talk to you a little bit about All-Stars, and not just the All-Star game. We talked about that earlier and how I thought that that was really good for baseball, that baseball can be able to showcase their stars. I've always said this about not only baseball, but also NASCAR. I think they did a really good job for their major events, and then it just kind of fade away into the sports landscape. And I think that baseball was able to have a really good draft, having it being at LA Live. There was fans there, people reacting to it. I know. Major League Baseball's draft is not like the NFL draft or the NBA draft. But I just think that what they did this past Sunday was really good. And then from the baseball standpoint, of course, when you got the best of the best, you always have some really nice plays and some access and some personality, which is sorely needed in that sport. But I want to talk to you a little bit about All-Stars here in the city. You know, for a long time, we had iconic figures that reigned over our sports crazy city. I grew up idolizing Walter Payton and Michael Jordan. Walter Payton and Michael Jordan, I had those two posters on my wall as a kid because Walter Payton, he was the Bears for a long time until they won the Super Bowl in 1985. He was the offense. He would kick the football if you asked him to. He could run the ball. He could be able to catch it. I mean, he was just one of the all-time greats. My favorite running back growing up was Walter Payton. Michael Jordan, I think that speaks for itself, right? I mean, we know what Michael Jordan has done, not only for the city, but making basketball a global game. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson was able to set the sport on fire, but not globally like Michael Jordan did. And so we know what Jordan has brought to the table. We still talk about him today in 2022. And he's the owner of the Charlotte Hornets, and we still talk about Jordan and everything that he did and everything he brought to the Chicago Bulls organization. Dennis Savard was my guy growing up as far as listening to Blackhawks hockey growing up as a kid. Savard was my favorite player growing up for the Blackhawks. And Andre Dawson with the Chicago Cubs, coming to the Cubs after all those years on the AstroTurf playing for the Montreal Expos. He comes to the Cubs and he says, and they say, well, okay, Andre, how much do you want to make? And he's like, okay, well, here's a blank check. Just you just fill out the number and I'll play for the Cubs. $500,000 he played for the Cubs in 1987 and was the MVP. Bo Jackson actually played in Chicago, which is amazing. Bo Jackson, we talk about Ohtani being outstanding, one of one. Bo Jackson, one of the first that we ever seen to be able to play football and baseball. He was in a White Sox uniform. Crazy, right? Some very good players and some bigger than life itself superstars have played in this city. You know, in today's world, we have so many iconic players that we watch each year. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And they've been on the top of the heap for a long time in football. Steph Curry showed us something that we've never seen before. Shooting the basketball from the moon and winning championships and changing the way the game is played today. In baseball, last night we saw Ohtani, as I mentioned, one of one, pitching and hitting for the Angels. Incredible feat in a specialized sports world in 2022. And you and I have watched sports for a long time. And I know that you and I know a star when we see one. It's not about whether or not you own the jersey of your favorite player or not, or you just have a rooting interest of your team. Look, even players and teams that you and I don't like, we know the stars when we see them. As a matter of fact, when we go to the venues, whether it's Wrigley or Guaranteed Rate or going to the United Center, listen, we are usually booing the best of the best. It's to give them respect, but also to try to rattle them, hoping that they won't hurt our favorite team. I mean, it's just part of fandom, right? You and I have done this for a long time. I know I've done it for a long time as a fan, too. You stand up and you boo the best. You're giving them their props, but at the same time, you don't want them to hurt our favorite team. And so when I look at this city, and I was reading a piece from Steve Greenberg from the Sun-Times, suntimes.com, and Greenberg was just going through Chicago sports and just saying that there isn't a lot to root for anymore, how July has not been great because the White Sox have been teeter-tottering around 500, and now they're a 500 ball club. Cubs are out of it. We don't know what the Bears will look like. Exactly how bad will it be? Doctor, tell me, how bad is it, right, when it comes to this Bears team? The Blackhawks going backwards as an organization. So when you take a look at the major sports that we cover here on Cap and Jay Hood every morning, we know that we are looking at several rebuilds. And we're looking at a team that might be on the precipice in the Bulls, and then we'll see what the White Sox do. But in our city, do you notice the amount of stars are dwindling across the board? I just talked about the Blackhawks, and there was a topic that Bleck and I had yesterday morning talking about Eddie Olczyk and how Eddie will now be the voice of the Seattle Kraken and not be part of the Blackhawks organization after 16 years in the booth. And it's sad because, if nothing else, if the Hawks were going to be bad, at least it was going to be entertainment from a broadcasting standpoint with Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk. And now Pat's gone and Eddie's gone too. And then what do you have left? So let's kind of review what we have here in the city. You know the sports landscape like I do. But when it comes to the White Sox, Tim Anderson is it. Jose Abreu, to me, is the Paul Konerko of this generation as far as leadership. Doesn't matter whether or not he has whether he speaks perfect English or not. That doesn't matter. I find it interesting that I read this from time to time for those that actually cover the sport, and they talk about, well, Jose Abreu doesn't have the most perfect English, so he can't lead. That's not true. That's not true. You can lead by example of what you do in the field. And also, you know, there is the opportunity to communicate with teammates, even if the English isn't perfect. That doesn't matter. What do you do on the field? What do you do in the clubhouse that you can lead? Jose Abreu is a leader of this team. I'm glad that he signed and re-signed with the White Sox, because I'd love for him to be able to capture a championship with this team. Tim Anderson is that guy, too. The guy that says, I'm changing the game. I feel like I have to be a leader in the sport as one of the few African-Americans in baseball. We're less than 7% now when it comes to African-Americans in baseball. So Tim needs to lead this in this sport. For the Cubs, Wilson Contreras, I've told Cap for a while now that I want what's best for Wilson Contreras, and that's to be traded to a contending team. It was great for him to represent the Cubs in the All-Star game, but this Cubs team is not ready to compete yet, and it looks like there won't be a re-signing or trying to redo his contract anytime soon. But at this point in time, as we talk about this today on July 20th, it is true that Wilson Contreras is the leader and the emerging leader of this team post Bryant and Rizzo and Lester and players of that ilk during the championship era. We talked about the Blackhawks, and at some point, I'm sure we'll have breaking news here at ESPN 1000 that says that either Taves or Kane will be traded and going someplace else. These two players have really been able to help this Blackhawks team in a great way, as you well know. Three Stanley Cup championships, and Taves and Kane don't need to be around for a rebuild. And so they deserve better than what they have over there on the west side as well. And then for the Bulls, it's Zach LaVine and ... who? Is that DeMar DeRozan? I know it's Zach LaVine for the long haul because he just signed a long-term deal. And for the Sky, it's Candace Parker, one of the best to ever do it. And she's not slowing down anytime soon, looks like. Candace Parker is one of the GOATs of the sport. So when we go through these names of Candace Parker and Zach LaVine and or DeRozan or Taves and Kane right now or Wilson Contreras or Tim Anderson and Jose Abreu, I want you to tell me something. And let's open the phone lines on this. Shay, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. I want you to tell me two things here in our next half hour. I'm interested in this conversation of who was the star that represents Chicago sports for you the most growing up? And who represents Chicago sports in 2022? The all-star in Chicago. Because I'm here to tell you that for me, out of the list I gave you, is Tim Anderson. And you say, well, how could that be? I said, did you hear the list I gave? Tim Anderson is a guy that has put himself out there. Some baseball players won't do this, but he's put himself out there and says, we have to change the game. And I'm here to change the game. And I like that as a slogan, but also someone who's walking it and talking it. I like that from Tim. And I see a guy here that's, we haven't even seen his best baseball as of yet. Is he a perfect baseball player? No. But he was an all-star, and he represented the city. Wilson Contreras is not going to be here, probably, more than likely by the deadline. But when it comes to Tim Anderson, there's a good possibility that he's going to be here for the long haul with this White Sox team. Again, we're bereft of the quality stars in the city for now because you have two or three rebuilds happening all at the same time. But you tell me, the star that represents the city the most, the all-star that represents Chicago the most in 2022, who was it for you when you were a kid, and who is it now? I'd love to hear the comparison. So let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. The Chicago star that could take over the city, who is it now? We'll get your phone calls on that and more as we move forward here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bah, 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 bah. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap is off today. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come, we have Shot or No Shot at 8 o'clock. An hour from now, we'll hear from Connor McKnight. He will break down his thoughts in the second half of the season for the White Sox and everything else MLB. Connor's really great to talk to when it comes to everything MLB and how he sees it through his lens as a baseball connoisseur, so I want to get his thoughts coming up in an hour from now right here on Cap and Jay Hood. If you're just joining us this morning, we've been talking about not just the All-Star game yesterday, because usually during this time, you could just put it on your calendar every year, Shay. Usually the conversation is what's wrong with baseball. I mean, just like when the sun comes up in the morning, you know that on a dry July sports calendar, as soon as the All-Star game is over or during the All-Star week, it's like, what's wrong with baseball? Well, I mean, we don't need July for that. We got plenty of time to talk about what's wrong with baseball. As a matter of fact, it's not about – I won't do that topic today, maybe tomorrow, but I will talk about something that's happening as far as the minor league system in Major League Baseball. It's a problem. We'll discuss it. Rob Manfred, for a guy that is the commissioner, still is just tone deaf about a lot of issues around his game. We'll talk about that momentarily here on Cap and Jay Hood. So which Chicago star could take over the city? Who was it when you were growing up? Who is it now? I threw out Tim Anderson as the guy. And this is, it says something because Zach LaVine is in this city and Candace Parker is in this city and Wilson Contreras is in this city. Taze and Kane, I mean, before the Sky Championship and before the Wolves Championship, I mean, the Blackhawks were it, man. Three Stanley Cups, a dynasty was happening over there on the West Side. Scandal happened. Then they want to, kind of remove Quenneville and then try to rebuild this team. A lot of stuff happened over there with the Blackhawks. But Taze and Kane resonated for a while here, even in a city in which it doesn't embrace hockey enough. So I want to get your thoughts. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We start off first with Maurice.
Some people call me Maurice.
Downtown on ESPN 1000. Hello, Mo.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. I've never heard that before, what you played there. So.
Of course not. Of course not. But no, actually, you've never been introduced that well before, correct?
No, that was all time. That's awesome.
Just for you, brother.
Thank you. I was born in 94, so growing up really, you know, early 2000s, mid 2000s in Chicago, I think it would be Derek Lee for me. He was the one that kind of was the star, especially because he had that, like, 05, 06 season that It was incredible.
Derek Lee was so solid over there at first base. It was with the Marlins, comes over to the Cubs, and just he was just solid. You knew that when he was at the plate or defensively, he'd give you all he had. So I liked Derek Lee a lot. So there was star power with Derek Lee. There's no question. Who is it now?
Yeah, it's tough to say. I'm a North Side guy, so I'd still probably go with Zach LaVine. Wilson's gone. I know that. Mm-hmm. That hurts my heart, but it's probably Zach LaVine. But I understand the Tim Anderson argument. He is the heart of the city right now. I get that.
It's interesting, Maurice, that you say Zach LaVine. And, of course, he's got a full boat contract now. Zach LaVine has an opportunity to really take this city by storm. And the Bulls have an opportunity to take the city by storm. Because, look, you have an underachieving White Sox team right now. Teeter-tottering. Will they make the playoffs? Will they not? They're 500 right now. We'll see what the second half brings. But the one thing for sure, and some Bulls fans still are not getting it, some Bulls fans still are not feeling it, in that it's like, well, you know, the Bulls didn't go all out and get a whole bunch of free agents like other teams to be able to stockpile talent and be able to get close to the NBA championship. Brother, everybody doesn't win the NBA championship. The NBA championship usually just goes in dynasties. You just don't get a lot of one-offs when it comes to championship. Right now, the championship reigns in San Francisco with the Golden State Warriors. And so that's what it all comes down to, is that you have to be able to get on a roll like the Bulls did with 6 titles in 8 years. The Lakers have done this. The Boston Celtics have done this. The Spurs. And usually it happens with dynasties. But when it comes to Zach LaVine, I think in today's sports landscape, the Bulls and Zach have an opportunity to really capture the emotion of the city through the winter into the spring, meaning that you have some memorable regular season games, you get momentum going into the playoffs, and actually win a playoff series or two. It happened for the Celtics. It's happened for the Heat. Why not the Bulls? And if that's going to happen, it's going to be led by Zach LaVine because he's here with the big contract. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Now, you see Maurice leaves line open as we go to Rocco on the road on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Rocco.
Hey, good morning. How you doing there, young man?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. You know, when I was growing up, it was the 69 Cubs, every single one of them. They were my heroes. And I used to run home from school and because it was on WGN. Mm-hmm. And you'd be able to catch the seventh inning and you know, all those guys from Sano to Becker to Kessinger, those were the guys. And then as far as the Bears go, you know, my brother and I had season tickets, God rest his soul, from 1977 to the year that they fired Ditka. And Walter Payton, man, he was the guy. I was there the day that he ran for 276 yards against the Vikings.
Yes.
And I don't think they threw one pass all day. They just gave it to Walter all day. And I think he had like 104 temperature that day. And, you know, so, and you know, a lot of it has to do with those guys being marketed. You know, they were able to be seen every week. And, you know, I'm not a White Sox fan, but when I was growing up, you know, even though they were stuck on channel 44 and you had to have your mother hold an antenna by the window to say,
why do you think I was born, Rocco? Why do you think I was born only to hold the antenna to make sure my dad could watch TV? That's the only reason why I was around.
You know, but guys like Bill Melton, I mean, you know, those guys were marketed here in Chicago and they're just part of the landscape here in Chicago. They don't do that anymore. And plus a lot of these teams, you know, they have their own TV stations. They're not like for the masses anymore. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Are you watching sports today, Rocco? I know you call the show regularly, so I know you're watching. Who's the guy now that you enjoy watching that can really capture the city?
Well, you know, I was really into the 2016 Cubs.
Yeah.
Wilson Contreras is probably it. I do, you know, tend to watch the White Sox a little bit more. I love Steve Stone. I miss him, doing the Cub games. Mm-hmm. So I do, you know, sort of lock in on like a Tim Anderson. And I love Dylan Cease. So, you know, that would be about it.
I got you. All right, Rocco. Appreciate your phone call. Always checking in with us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Let's go to Joe in Tinley Park with Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Hoodie.
What's
How
up?
You doing?
I'm well.
I was saying, growing up, it was Derrick Rose.
Mm-hmm.
And just that injury, you could, when it happened, you felt everybody in Chicago just like, man.
Just it was profound sadness from everybody.
Yeah. And as of now, Roquan Smith is very underrated. And I was saying, I saw a stat today that him and Ray Lewis are the only two players that have 300-plus tackles and 30 tackles for loss in a two-year span. And he getting snubbed from Pro Bowls every year is just beyond belief to me. And I have high hopes for Fields, and I've seen him play in person and seeing some throws that he makes. I think he could take he could be the Derrick Rose without hopefully staying healthy.
All right, Joe. Got you, man. Appreciate your phone call. We'll have some NFL chatter, some Bears chatter with Alex Brown coming up at 9:35 here on Cap and Jay Hood. So you want some Bears content? We got it for you right here on ESPN 1000. Your phone call's coming up on the player that you when you take a look at the sports landscape. Who represents the Chicago sports landscape in 2022? Who's the all-star in Chicago for you as a fan? Who was it when you were a kid? Who is it now? We can get your phone calls on that and more. Don't forget Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. All part of the mix right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We've got the ultimate conundrum coming up regarding the Mega Millions we'll tell you about coming up in our next half hour. And Mega Millions, what's the jackpot now? What is it,
Shay? It's like 660 or something because there was no winner last
630,
night.
630, I think I saw.
Holy bleep. That's still a lot of money. That's exactly what Juan Soto is going to sign for, apparently, as he turns down the $450 million deal. So we will give you a great conundrum when it comes to Mega Millions coming up on Cap and Jay Hood. If you're just joining us, we've been talking about all-star power. We just had the all-star game for baseball, but we're talking about star power in Chicago sports. Who represents the Chi in sports in 2022? Who was it when you were a kid? I went through some names like Jordan and Walter Payton and Dennis Savard and Andre Dawson and Bo Jackson when I was coming up. But now for me, it's Tim Anderson. Can you beat Tim Anderson? If we're playing cards, if I throw down a Tim Anderson, how can you beat Tim Anderson? 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. In Maryville, Indiana, here's Jesse on ESPN 1000 with Jay Hood here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
I'd say when I was growing up, the star was probably Brian Urlacher for me.
Mm-hmm. Tell me why.
He just was the face of the Bears, and at that time, the Bears were usually very good near the top of the division, if not winning it. So I'd say he's the face of the Bears, and they're probably the biggest team in Chicago, so he was probably the biggest star.
You know, Jesse, I won't say he's one of one, but I know it's one of the few times that I've seen a linebacker with safety speed. I mean, running from sideline to sideline, we hadn't seen anything like that in a long time, at least not in a Chicago Bears uniform. He was a very, very special player. Hall of Famer for a reason.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Who is it today?
And, today, I think I agree with you and with Tim Anderson. I kind of agree with what the guy was saying earlier about Fields has the potential, mm-hmm. but right now it's definitely going to be Tim Anderson for me.
Jesse, thank you very much for the phone call. We go to my prospect. Here, there he is. He's Paulie, and he joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Paul.
Morning, J-H-O-O-D.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm well. I'm glad you checked in with me today.
I wanted to weigh in. Growing up, I mean, I'm about your age, and I'd say from the early 80s, it was Sandberg, just because he was just so consistent. I mean, I'm like you, where like I had the Peyton and Jordan Bush was all over the place, but Sandberg was my favorite baseball player in the 80s. And then once Frank Thomas rolled around, he was like must-watch TV.
Yeah,
you know, he's one of those guys where you drop everything. Like every game, you're like, all right, I can see his three or four at bats.
Well, yeah, like you'd be at Old Comiskey, right? Or you'd be at New mm-hmm. Comiskey. It would be New Comiskey, right? The old Blue Elephant that had no life to it when it was first built. And you'd be sitting there like in the hot dog line, and you turn around in line, and you go, hold on a second, Frank's at bat. Hang on a second. And even the cashier behind the counter would be like, okay, hold on, I know you're not ready to order yet because Frank's up. You had to see it, right, because you didn't want to miss the at-bat. It was that good.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, as much as I like Tim Anderson, too, I think he's a terrific player, and I think the spotlight is there for him to take it. I do think Dylan Cease is kind of becoming that guy for me now, too, though, because he's just – every time I tune in for him, he's got such filthy stuff. He's reminding me a lot of, like, Chris Sale. I hope that he doesn't go to waste like Sale did, where he was just on a poor team for so long. Hopefully Dylan Cease is healthy and the Sox actually achieve some success with him. So that would be my next guy, though.
All right, Paul, glad you checked in. He gives you Dylan Cease. I give you Tim Anderson. Who do you say? I mean, again, who represents Chicago in sports in 2022? And I know, like, you know, that it's not looking good lately with the Blackhawks, what they're doing right now. And it's not like Davidson, the general manager, didn't tell you. He said that he was going to change the fortunes of the team, that he was going to rebuild. He said the word. He was not afraid like Jed Hoyer, wasn't afraid like Poles to say it. You're rebuilding, and that's okay. Like, I don't like it in this city. I don't like rebuilds because we're in a major market. You should be able to build on what the mistakes that you've made. You should be able to retool your team without having to level it. But I understand that's what you want to do. At least you're not lying. I always say this, that if you have a problem with me, just tell me to my face. So that way we could be able to work out our differences. But if I hear it from someplace else, that's where the problem is going to lie. And the same thing with my Chicago sports teams. If I, as a partial season ticket holder to the White Sox, as I am, What I'm looking at is, if you don't tell me that you're rebuilding and you keep putting slop on top of slop on top of slop and you're not winning in the Ventura era, and you don't say where you're going, okay, I have a problem with that. Just tell me. I'm a grown up. I got a mortgage. Just tell me, right? If you're rebuilding, just say so. 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. My prospect here is Colin on ESPN 1000 with Jay Hood here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Colin.
What's up, Hoodie? Good to talk to you again today.
Good to talk to you.
I could go for days from ones from my childhood, but I want to stick with some Cubs teams. Mark Grace was a big guy my dad loved, but for me it was Kerry Wood. But Sammy Sosa does not get enough love in this city or from the Cubs franchise. He saved baseball for a generation of baseball fans. Him and Mark McGwire. So
correct.
I think Sammy Sosa for me growing up. But now I think it's hard to beat Tim Anderson. I'd love to say, you know, Contreras, but, you know, he's gone, or either one of those guys in the Blackhawks if they stick around after this rebuild. But it's a tough year to be a Chicago sports fan for sure.
Well, let's you and I talk about Sammy for a second. Okay.
All right.
In other markets, like in San Francisco, the Bay Area with Barry Bonds, whatever you think of Barry Bonds, when he goes back to San Francisco, they cheer him. Standing ovation, they appreciate what he brought. David Ortiz, I know Ortiz cheated. I know he did. I mean, and he was a steroid guy. He still got in the Hall of Fame. When he goes to Boston, standing ovation, and he's become this, you know, media guy now that's either on Fox or definitely on Fox, people respect Big Poppy, okay? So the same thing here in Chicago. I don't think that you're going to get a whole bunch of boos or people is like, no, why is Sammy back in Wrigley? If Sammy came back today, if he came back to Wrigley Field, especially where the Cubs are going right now, it would be appreciated by many Cub fans. Whatever the national perception of Sammy Sosa is, in Chicago, at Wrigley, he would be appreciated.
I'd have the Sammy jersey on. I'd have the T-shirt on. It's a shame that the Cubs do not give him more love and more respect. He's definitely an eccentric and a difficult guy, I think, to deal with for some media folks. But it's a shame that he does not get enough love, enough respect from the franchise.
You see what I did there, JR? In italics, I said, at Wrigley. Did you see what? You see that?
Yeah,
did
I saw
you catch that.
Yeah,
in italics. Mm-hmm. If it was written, it'd be in italics. At Wrigley, mm-hmm. He would be beloved, right?
It's so interesting how it's flipped, because 5 years ago, it would have been like, no, keep him away. We don't need Sammy. Now it's like, yes, please bring him back. We could use Sammy. It's interesting.
I think that the team needs a mascot.
By the way, it's funny you said everybody, like, you know Barry Bonds cheated, but everybody respects Barry Bonds. We're only 3 weeks removed, I think, from Cap standing right where you're standing right now and telling me, in my house, I raised my kids. Henry Aaron is the home run leader.
Well, Cap's house is ass backwards. I mean, you could go with facts or you can go with feelings. As Bruce says, facts over feelings, right? Facts over feelings. It's fact. He's the home run leader. He just is. Doesn't matter what's at in Cap's home. I look at the record book. It says that he's the home run leader. Whether by hook or by crook.
He's the greatest player of all time.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
Shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.